And welcome to my talk. My name is Josephine Pembroke, and I'm from the longest running all women podcasters in the UK, which is quite good. It just means I haven't given up, really. We've been running since October 2011, and today I'm going to teach you all how to be podcasters. It's this simple. All you need is this, a smartphone. All I'm going to do is later press publish. And then I'm going to put a little bit of blur, put the photograph, and then I literally press a button and it all works. Can you imagine? It's on the internet and people are going to listen to it. We'll probably get at least 120 hits as soon as I put it up. So how did I get into podcasting? My background is performing primarily, and then was a performer, which meant showing up on stage, singing in bands, living in Soho, being quite a wild child in the 80s. I also fell into PR by accident because I needed money, and someone rang me up and said, someone hasn't come in today, and I went in and they said, look, you're really good at this. So I ended up being headhunter for Lynn Franks. Didn't stay long there because you have to work really hard, and that's never been my thing. And also, I don't like working for other people. That's always been the problem because I end up sort of arguing and having my own views too strongly. So it's much better to have my own business. I decided after I'd had a cabaret act called Pussies Galore, who performed all over London, including Heaven, Café de Paris, and performed everywhere. After that, I thought, right, what's the thing you do in the 90s? You become a TV presenter. So at the time, I was working at the Mirror selling advertising because I'd married a man who said, you need to get a proper job. And obviously, I'm quite good at selling. So I was at the Mirror, and then upstairs at the Mirror, Janet Street Porter had just started live TV. So I thought, being an Amanda Rui type, I thought I'd go up and introduce myself to her, even though I'm only working downstairs. And I said, hi, my name's Josephine. I used to be in a band called Pussies Galore. Will you give me a job? I'm going to be a brilliant presenter. She said, yes, of course I will. You can become the agony aunt on the gay TV programme on Saturday nights. And absolutely loved it. Did it for 6 weeks until she was sacked, as we all know, by Kelvin McKenzie. And the whole thing went grey. Everything went grey, the whole studio went grey, the people went grey, and it collapsed because he took it over. I think Janet Street Porter was much more innovative. Anyway, so I still want to be presenter, but then I got pregnant, had a baby, and then moved to Bath. And I thought, well, I still want to be presenter. And someone said, do you know that at Radio Bristol, they train you to be a producer and presenter? It's called CSV Media. You've probably heard of it. They specialise in charitable media kind of jobs. And went along and got on the course, and I loved it. I loved it so much more than TV presenting, because I could talk even more. Also, it wasn't to do with your face, it wasn't to do with your figure, it wasn't, you know, it was all going for me. So I did that for 2 or 3 years, just part-time, and I was on air interviewing people like, it was to do with charities, so people that run charities. So one of the most moving ones I did was interviewed a girl that used to be a prostitute, and she told her story, and everyone was like, oh my God, that was amazing, you got her to talk. So I suddenly realised that maybe I'm not bad at this. Then I went off and had another baby, and then I came back and there was a job going, being a broadcast assistant, and I thought, well, I'll go for it. So I went for it, and it was a bit like this. I was really nervous, I was talking and everything, left the room and thought, ah! But then they said, you've got the job, Josephine, and I was just so delighted. I worked, luckily part-time, because I had small children, 3 days a week, and I worked across 5 different programmes at Radio Bristol, which was such good grounding, because I, you know, it literally was like being a journalist, even though I'm not a trained journalist, but you had to think on your feet, you have to think of stories, you had to deal with the public, you had to do a lot of writing, and also, this is the first time I'd ever used the internet, because they gave me the job, it was 1999, and I said to my husband, I said, look, I've been given a job at the BBC and I don't know how to write an email. I don't know what the internet is, because it had all happened at once, so literally in 24 hours I had to learn. I remember that being a little bit stressful, but the BBC were really good because they had their own intranet and they taught me all how to do it. So I really enjoyed Radio Bristol, but I came to a kind of dead end there because the woman that ran it, didn't like blondes and didn't like people that weren't highly educated. And I'm afraid, I know this is a university club, but I actually only had one GCSE, I have to admit you, because I was a bad girl at school and I didn't work. But it's never stopped me again. No hindrance on me. even though I think it would now. I think now in the 80s you could get away with more. So we moved to Dorset, and because there was no radio there, the nearest radio was an hour away. So I became a jazz singer, which I really enjoyed, got a following, performed in clubs, you know, because that's my background, really liked it. Then my husband came home and said, I bought the Oldie magazine. He used to work for Richard Ingram's in the first years of the Oldie, and he saved it from closing down three times. So he's even on the website as a man who saved the Oldie. He's now on the website as a man who sacked Richard Ingram's, which is not true, he actually resigned. Anyway, so he was up in London three nights a week, and I was getting lonely, my kids were at school, and he said, come on, Josephine, come back to London. Now, I was a little bit scared about going back to London because I was then a 40-year-old in my 40s, had two children, had a dog, and become very kind of normal. And I thought, London to me was all about nightclubs and singing and being drunk all the time. And I thought, how am I going to cope being in London and, you know, having that lifestyle? And I thought, no, maybe, I won't have to. So we went to go and live near a park, and I walked the dog every day, and I coped. Anyway, did a little bit of singing back in London, but never really liked it, and thought, what do I love? So I was lying in the bath one day, and I thought, I really loved working at radio, and I had a laugh, and I really enjoyed communicating and meeting people. I thought, well, what am I interested in? And that's women, because I believe that women aren't given enough voice in the media at all, on any level. And it was at the time just about to happen when the BBC had that big scandal about not enough women. And I thought, right, Radio Gorgeous. And so I went on a course for a year at Lambeth College learning radio production because I thought I'd been out of it for 6 years and the internet's happened. And then after that, I got a little job, 2 hours a week, doing Radio Gorgeous at a radio station in Hammersmith, which is where I live. And it had 3 mile radius. And I had a lunchtime show, which I really, really, really enjoyed. Can I just tell you, though, before that, can I just tell you some facts, little facts about women in radio at the moment in Britain? So what there is there's no primetime women presenters on Radio 2 between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. In the evening, you can hear Joe Wiley and you can hear Vanessa Feltz between 5 and 7 in the morning. Zoe Ball has a programme on Saturdays, and there's a few women that kind of float around in the evenings, as does Vanessa for Jeremy Vine occasionally. Radio 4's a bit better because we've got the day programme. We've got Sarah Montague and Michelle Hussain, who are at least in a group of six people, there are two of them, which isn't bad. And then we're followed on by Woman's Hour, which again is presented by all women, which is good. And then Martha Carney left Woman's Hour because she wanted to do more hard news. So women traditionally in radio, if you ever listen to a commercial radio station, they're the sidekick. They're the one that always, you know, there's a man being funny and a show-off. And the woman has to sit there going, you're so naughty and bad. Well, I didn't want to be that. I wanted to be him. I wanted to be the bad one who was saying shocking things because it's much more fun, isn't it?
RadioGorgeous.com.
Age is not an issue in radio. Hooray! Okay, so it's not a visual medium, so you don't have to have, you know, the famous thing, face for radio. Just to let you know, Jenny Murray is 66, Annie Nightingale is 77, and Moira Stewart, who was brought in when there was a scandal of no women presenters on Radio 2, is 67. Round of applause, please. So I'm a woman in my 40s of not much experience, apart from 3 years at the BBC. And I was the lowest role there, broadcast assistant. What do I decide to do? I decide to start my own radio station. So I went to Hammersmith, and that was like the first seeds, and I really enjoyed it for a year. We put out shows, and early on we had interesting people like Nicola Bowman from Persephone Books, Ellis Hilton, Anne Seber, Mary Killen interviewed Sophie Sarin, and Charlotte Johnson-Wall, who's the mother of Boris. We had Zoe Williams, Virginia Ironside was our agony aunt, and Jan Ravens was an ex-Blue Peter presenter. She was one of our guests. So we were having really good guests, but then really sadly, the radio station closed down. So it's like, what do we do? Shall we go? Because it's turned into Donna and I now, who's my partner in it, and she's a New York, very outrageous, loud, very highly educated. She went to Vassar. So it makes up for my education. She's really good. She's the literary editor, and she has ideas as well, but we work together. Anyway, so we thought, what can we do? Number one, we could approach a radio station, but there are none that would take these two outrageous women because we're too much, you know, for radio, really. Well, for normal radio, hopefully. So we thought, well, what can we do? We decided the best option was to go into a thing called podcasting, which means you interview people on something like this, and then you upload it on the internet, and then you get an editor to edit it, and then you upload it onto a website. And this had just really happened at the same time as us, so it was brilliant timing. And I still have the problem that people say, now, even here today, I bet you think, I don't know how to listen to a podcast. You know, all you do is you go to computer and you turn it on and you press play. Okay? All right? You get your tablet, you look at Radio Gorgeous, you press play. Or you get your phone and you go, press play. Anyway, so it's not hard, it's not weird, it's easy, okay? All you do is press play. You don't have to do downloading or anything strange. I had so much to learn about being an interviewer because obviously I was never trained, really, apart from CSV Media. I remember hearing one interview when I said fantastic 15 times. That was not a fantastic interview. I also interrupted people, isn't that a shock? I was so keen and excited, and then the editor said, I can't edit this. So what happens is we got editors, we got people that really want to be in radio, love editing, hate being in the front, and then it really helped me because I didn't have time to edit, so I just send edit notes over and they do it. And we've now got three amazing editors who work for us. Just to say, I also bumped into Lynn Franks at a party, which was really, really good. Because I bumped into Lynn and I said, Lynn, I've started Radio Gorgeous, all women's radio station. She went, oh my God, I started Viva. And just listen to me, this is what you mustn't do. Number one, the first voice on Viva was a man saying the news. So that was bad for the image of all women. And number two, we'd just get groups of women sitting around in a circle. And you know what they did? Complain about life. About how bad things were, how terrible things were, how feminism, you know, women's rights, how can women get on anywhere? So I thought, right, Radio Gorgeous is going to be the opposite of that. It's about having fun with women, inspiring women, giving women a chance to speak and tell their story. Also, it's just happened that the demographic is me. I am Radio Gorgeous, and so I invite people on that I like. So the listeners are aged 45 to 65, of most of the listeners. So it is a radio station for you, okay? So I got us onto this thing called iTunes. You might have heard that on your computer. And that really helps because that means you get international sort of people listening to you. And I created a website. Nowadays, you don't really need a website. All you need is Audio Boom. But I created a website for Radio Gorgeous. And then I made up some categories. Author of the Week, which once or twice a week we have an author on. And we do an in-depth interview. And I say that we're on the kind of media triangle. Where either our authors have usually been to Woman's Hour and Joe Good on Radio 2, and then they come to us, and we're really chuffed that we're sort of up there with sort of these people that are quite famous. So we have Author of the Week, Gorgeous Reads, which is associated with it, Gorgeous Escapes, which is about travel. We have Gorgeous Food and Drink. We make one recipe a month. I'll tell you a bit more about that later. Gorgeous Wellbeing and Sex. We're very famous for being very upfront about talking about sex, which, you know, it's not a British thing, and that's why people love it, because they don't want to talk about it, so they're going to listen to a podcast. Gorgeous Living and Shopping, Gorgeous Entrepreneurs, which Amanda hosts, Gorgeous Lives, Gorgeous Gossip, and once a year, we allow men on. Yep. Yeah. Well, it's called Man Week. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When? What time?
November, end of November, but I can record you any time. I can record you anytime. Yeah, because I can keep it. I've got two people already that I've already recorded for it. Because men are begging to be on Radio Gorgeous, as you can imagine.
It's blooming months of the
year. Yeah, so we need it, don't we? Okay, so just to say, you'll find Radio Gorgeous on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, and loads of other apps. You will be amazed. We're Spain, all over the world. We've been going for nearly 6 years, and we've nearly given up so many times because our lives are busy. And my child became seriously ill, my parents died, my dog died, and I was doing up a home from top to bottom and living in it. But we still carried on with the British spirit. Analytics from Audio Boom, we've been with them for 3 years. I know numbers are boring, but we've had 131,000 listens in the last 3 years. Over 90 days, we've had 39,000 listens.
Wow. Okay.
In the US, that was, US is number one, 13,000 listens. UK number two, 8,000 listens. Japan, 6,000 listens. It was really strange, we're big in Japan. People listen to it on their computer, mobile and tablet. I've done the age. Now, just to say, we're really excited because now we've got these figures, we can get sponsors. So we've got Sainsbury's Magazine. They approached us, they said, Josephine, we want podcasts. We want to go to the modern age. And we said, yeah, we'll test some recipes for you and make it into a podcast. So once a month, it used to be twice, we did two recipes and that was too stressful. We do one recipe a month. This week it was this month it was tomato poppy seed tart. Ooh. And then they put it on their, they don't put it on their website yet, but they're going to, but they tweet about it, and that's really good because they've got 30,000 followers. And then they also put it in their newsletter, which is a really good thing. We've also got another sponsor called Henpicked, Wisdom of Women. Have you heard of his blog?
Yeah.
Okay, they're always looking for writers as well. Henpicked.net. Okay, they are the largest growing website for women over 40, and they really are interested especially in things like health, money, and we're helping women on any level. The woman that runs it used to work for Boots, so she's really good because she's corporate, so she's really impressed that I'm a creative person, and I'm really impressed because she's a brainy, proper person. And then the other sponsor we have is the Amorist magazine. I don't know whether you've heard about this. It's just been launched this month. By coincidence, my husband does publish it. It's a tasteful erotic magazine brought to you by Rowan Pelling, who did the Erotic Review. And so they are one of our sponsors. So we can do in-depth interviews with people, and they put them on again on their newsletter and their website, which is very kind of them. And also on Henpick, we're on their website and on their newsletters. Lastly, let's go through a few guests we've had on Radio Gorgeous. We've had Naomi Wolf, Emma Bridgewater, Kate Moss with an E, Erica Young, Sally Wainwright, Joe Wood, Baroness Helena Kennedy, Sean Phillips, Meg Matthews, Miranda Richardson, Rose Prince, Helen Lederer, Ruby Wax, Jude Kelly, it's going on, isn't it? Catherine Mayer, Wendy Dagworthy, Rachel Johnson, Katie Ford, Princess Michael of Kent, Lynn Barber and Lindsay Barham, and Esther Ranson. Okay, that's just a few, okay? Monetizing, you might think, how the hell do you make money out of podcasts? This was why I nearly gave up quite a lot, because the money wasn't pouring in, but it is starting to come in now because of our relationship with Audio Boom. They have given us, they've now put little adverts at the beginning of our podcast, and that's turning into money. Okay, it's only small, but it's coming at last. Okay, now I thought I'd just give you a few little stories about people I've interviewed, a bit of gossip that you'd never know because I've never told anybody else. Okay, so I interviewed Twiggy. I contacted her. You know how I contacted her? On her website. I just thought, I'll just say, hello, I'm from Josephine from Radio Gorgeous, please will you come on? She said, yes! I was so amazed. Again, it was the Amanda Rui effect. Just dare do it, you know, and I did. She spends most of her time in Suffolk, but most of the other time in a lovely flat which she bought at the height, she told me, when she had loads of money. A lovely flat in Earl's Court, and I went round and it was exactly what you imagine, sort of very Bieberish, all 19 kind of 30s, really beautiful. And she came in and she was so down to earth, just exactly what you imagine, really, really nice. Interviewed her, really enjoyed it, and I'd read a book. Anyway, I met the ghostwriter of the book. And I said, oh, Twiggy was wonderful. She said, did you meet a husband? I said, no. She said, oh, because the only thing I was told that you're not allowed to write in the book about the husband was, before he was an actor, he was a hairdresser. Okay, all right. Well, that was quite nice.
Is that off the record?
Yeah, off the record, even though we are recording it. Shirley Conran lives in Putney in a block which is a bit grim. It's a bit like the Eastern Block. Literally, it's this kind of big building. And I was like, what am I doing here? Got in the lift, got up there, and she was delightful. She suffers from ME, so luckily she'd been able to get up that day. She said, literally, I can probably only do two things a week, two public engagements, because I get so tired. She was so charming, sat me down, said I had to eat mince. So during interview, so I ate mince. It was an hour-long recording. You must listen to it. I'll send the link to people that want it. And I said I loved her napkins, because everything about her was stylish, because she was married to Conrad. She said, you can have the napkins. So I'm really lucky. I've got two napkins given to me by Shirley Conran.
Wow.
Okay, Princess Michael of Kent. Okay, you all want to know about her, don't you? Come on, Princess Pushy. Don't be shy. Okay, so it was a rainy day. I'd had to send my passport in. Went to KP. Kensington, yeah, passport, they had to check me. got to KP, Kensington Palace, a very nice army-ish man let me in, and a girl, just how you imagine, headband and everything, came to collect me, very slowly girl, very nice and sweet. Went up, waited for ages in this room that was stiflingly hot, a bit like this, kind of very grand. Suddenly she's wondering, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm late, it's just that my Burmese cats are being so demanding. I said, why? She said, oh, you know them, they are out in the rain, and then they come in and they want me to rub them. And so they go out again and come in and I have to rub them, and it takes up all my day. I said, oh, I'm terribly sorry. So she sat down. Luckily, I got that on the recording. Isn't that brilliant? Anyway, and then she said, well, obviously, I do like cats because I used to have a pet cheetah. And I thought, yes, you really do remind me of one. Okay, now another story was, I work from home and my studio, Radio Gorgeous, which is actually just an office, people come round to there and this black cab suddenly arrived, no idea. Doorbell, it was a bit like Mary Poppins arriving, didn't know who it was. Hello, I'm the psychic woman, you've got to interview me now. And I said, okay, no idea who she was, where she was from, or anything about her. But I had to pretend, and she never ever guessed that I didn't know who she was. Is she really psychic? That's my question. Okay? Another time, when I'm at home, I have to admit I'm slightly relaxed sometimes and I don't get dressed straight away because I'm doing loads of jobs and I'm in my lovely dressing gown, very chic with my slippers, and the doorbell rings. Oh my God, Victoria Tennant, the Hollywood star that was married to Steve Martin, is here and I'm standing there in my old slippers and my dressing gown. Hello, I'm so sorry, I'm not quite ready yet. Oh, don't worry, you know, she came in, you know, sat down, I did the interview. She never ever noticed, because all she wanted to do was talk about herself. Rachel Johnson, she's become a little bit of a friend of mine, you know, a little bit tricky, you can imagine. She's been on twice. First time I said, whatever you do, you've got to tweet, because you've got 30,000 followers. She said, yes, Josephine, of course I will. Did she tweet? No. Second time on, I said, Rachel, you can only come onto Radio Gorgeous if you tweet. Did she tweet? No. But I know I'll let her on again because I'm weak. Okay, I interviewed Lynn Barber. So I went to Lynn Barber's house in Highgate. Again, a little bit nervous. You know, this is Lynn Barber. She's a famous journalist. You know, what's she going to say? So this kind of lady with a red face came, answered the door. Hello, I'd like to come in. Yes, so I sat down, she said, would you like a drink? And I went, yeah, a cup of tea. No, a drink. And I said, no. She said, oh, well, I'm going to have some wine. Would you like a fag? No, I'm all right. So she drank and smoked throughout the interview and she thoroughly enjoyed it. And I just sat there thinking, you are so cool. So Fleet Street, still at it. So I hope you've enjoyed our talk today. My talk. Me. No, I'm royal, aren't I? There's two of us. Coming up soon on Radio Gorgeous is, just to let you know, just to give you a little taster, so you know, I'm giving you my cards soon. I'm interviewing Rosa Prince, who's written the latest book about Theresa May, which is really exciting, because iTunes are going to feature it in their podcast section. And I'm also going to do one soon, is how to have a good orgasm over 40. Might be handy for some people here. And then thirdly, I'm interviewing the most famous author ever. She's called Jane Corry, and she'll be talking about her Club System. Thank you so much. For more information, go to radiogorgeous.com.
This is a Radio Gorgeous production for Radio Gorgeous 2017. For more information, go to radiogorgeous.com.